Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am very excited to be here today. I think we'll actually have viewers today because Julie Green is here with me, right? So I don't need to introduce. Julie comes on my show, and I want to thank her viewers for watching because, you know, it's up to more than four today. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, Julie is a warrior for Christ. She is a friend. She's been just instrumental in helping me and supporting me with prayer, with faith, with this, with that, and her entire team. And one of the things that's really amazing when you get to know someone like Julie is to see that it's not just Julie that's living it, it's her whole team, right? So I meet a lot of people and they'll go on, you know, TV, podcast, radio, whatever, and you'll see them and it's like, they put on a mask. It's like they walk in there and it's just night and day, right? And you talk to their team and their team is all, they're like, you know, all over the place. With Julie and her team, literally every person and the whole team, it is 100% Christ focused. And I think that's an amazing thing. And I think it's a powerful thing. And it's something that's in short supply because we have so many church leaders out there that are preaching about getting yours, right? Just worry about yourself, your money, your finances, or you've got others, you know, that are the times, end times are here, it's over, so don't try. Now, whether we're in end times or not, I don't know. But what I do know is don't try is not a thing, right? Because Christ told us, he said, listen, you don't want to be the servant who's sleeping when the master comes home. So, you know, Julie and I have aligned on so many different things, and I'm so excited to have her here. And without further ado, how are you doing today, Julie?
I am doing great. I will tell you, just when you said that you, there's no time for doing nothing. God has called us in to fight that good fight of faith. And yes, we are in the end times. I don't know how close we are to, you know, the end, but I do know that we are toward the end. And you can see that because the intensity of evil, you can see that with what God said in his word, what it was one of the signs is that good will be portrayed as evil and evil is good. And we're seeing that more now than any other time in human history. And so you're seeing the evil that is ruling and reigning in this world. And so God is telling us, yeah, we better get in that fight. And so he's been telling us even last week, he said, Julie, you're in boot camp. He's like, everyone has been in a boot camp. I've been preparing them, preparing their hearts, preparing their minds for the battle that's ahead. But we have to understand that the battle is the Lord. So he's the one who wins it. The battle for us is staying in the battle, staying fighting, and staying looking toward God.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's one of the interesting things. So like I, you know, I've read that book a few times, you know, that book that we're all supposed to be living by. And, you know, I've never spent an excessive amount of time on Revelations because to me, Christ is, it was very clear that only the Father knows the exact day, but we should look for the, we should look for the signs, right? So, you know, that is what it is. And, but when I look at the times, when I look at what's happening and I look at some of these things, you know, when I look at some of the stuff in the Great Reset, and then I'm going to go out into kind of some, you know, kind of spiritual and faith stuff. To me, you know, you look at what the Great Reset is. You look at what's pushing. It's almost like some of these guys read Revelations and said, hey, let's follow that, but let's take side Satan. You know, let's take Team Satan on this, and let's push his agenda for the revelation. It's kind of an interesting thing because we see, you know, the attacks and the stuff that we're seeing build up. You know, I expect famine, frankly. You know, we're seeing attacks on the food supply. We're seeing the food supply. We're seeing poison put into the food supply, the mRNAs, the vaccines. We're seeing the genetic engineering of all seeds and all everything that we eat. We're seeing just the shutdown of farming, things like that. And you know, we talk about Revelations, one of the end time, you know, the horsemen of famine. And I see that, right? And then you see wars and rumors of war. You see disease, pestilence. You see like all these different things. And, you know, I got to tell you, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it because I figure when God comes, whenever he comes, I should be busy fighting, whether that's today, tomorrow, or next, you know, a century or a millennium from now. Either any guy, my job is just to fight because I'll leave, you know, he likes you. He doesn't talk to me quite as much as he talks to you. You know, that's kind of my take on it. What do you think?
I think that honestly, this is a foreshadowing of everything that we're going to see in the book of Revelation come to pass, because in the book of Revelation, it does talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and you're starting to see that come to pass. And even though we're not in that tribulation period, you're seeing the signs of what is to come later on and how bad it will be, because we're just in judgment right now. This is not God's wrath. God's wrath is the book of Revelation. It's a tribulation period. Okay. And so even though we're going through tribulations in this earth, it's not the great tribulation. But we've seen about wars and rumors of wars. Yes, we're seeing about the famines. We're seeing about the pestilences. God is saying, look, I have this in my word. A lot of people won't even touch the book of Revelation because it's too scary for them. Even though that's the only book in the Bible that God said, I will bless you for reading this book. Because yeah. God is, the book of Revelation is like the unveiling of what the end times, the end of the end, which is the last 7 years, will actually be. But a lot of people don't want to look at it because they don't want to touch on that because it's scary. Well, again, we are not supposed to be scared. We're not supposed to be afraid because God has not appointed his children to wrath. And so even though we may see crazy times, even though we may see a lot of horrible things going on in the world, this is not half as bad or near as bad as what it would be in the tribulation period. And so God has appointed us to stand up. He's appointed us to fight, but he's also appointed us to get back this glory and to get back people's attention on God. And that's why I think yesterday was so vitally important during the eclipse, was that people, for the first time, well, majority of people were paying attention to it. If they weren't paying attention to it, they knew about it. You know, they were either researching it or saying, okay, that was great. But they all knew about it.
Yeah.
There's so many people that were united. I knew people that were praying, fasting, blowing shofars. They were looking up. They were, you know, my family and, you know, we were all outside. Chris and then the boys were all outside at, you know, different times. And we were all looking up. We were looking to a sign of God. Yesterday was about God. Yesterday was about showing God's people that he does signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, exactly what he said, exactly what he said in his word. Again, he's proving himself. Because too many people, because of religion and legalism, have been led away from God because of religious traditions instead of going toward God. And yeah. So God is showing us, listen, and there was also, he's like, I'm showing this sign in the sun. And then also yesterday, seven planets were aligned. Well, seven is a number of perfection. You had seven cities of Nineveh that were in the part of that total totality of the eclipse. You have a city called Rapture. You had the little Cairo or little Egypt. You had all these different things. And God is saying, listen, I am pointing to these things because there's no coincidence with God. Yeah. We were all looking up yesterday going, okay, God, this is so awesome. This is so cool. And God was saying, I'm still showing the world that I still exist and that my Bible, the word of God, is still relevant today. Because a lot of people will say that the word of God is not relevant. Well, the word of God is relevant, and it is pertaining to our life every single day. And that is where we find the truth. That is where we find our answers to our problem, because that's God.
Agreed. And I think that, so to me, you know, when I was hearing about the buildup about the eclipse and this and that and other, you know, to me, I wasn't overly excited about it. I thought it was neat. I went outside and looked at it. But I didn't put too much into it. What I did like, though, or did find interesting, and what I agree with you 100% on, is the impact, right? And I think there were two sides of it. One of the things that's interesting you know, there's a yang for every yin type thing, right? So there were a lot of people that were out praying and doing stuff like that. That was awesome. We also saw quite a few people working on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And it just, it was a manifestation of the situation we're in. We got people pushing good, people pushing evil, and that's that. I want to ask you something. So I had one of the things that I get a lot of, I'm Catholic. I know. Don't judge me. The Pope's garbage. But you know, one of the things that a lot of people have hit me up on, especially my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, said, you know, hey, you know, we hear all this stuff about prophets and this and that and other, and that's all hokey. And so when I came in a few years back and I got to meet people like you, and there's a long list of them that I've met, wonderful people who live their life in Christ and do the, you know, do amazing works. And you, I mean, you bring more people to Christ on a daily basis than I'll bring in three lifetimes. So that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, they say the prophet, and then people say, well, prophet this, prophet that. And it's like they're looking for some sort of a hard legal definition. Mm-hmm. For what it is that you do versus what it is Elijah did. And I don't have that, right? I don't have that. What I know, and I'm just interested in your thoughts on this, because I have immense respect for you. You bring people to Christ. You bear good fruit. That's right. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what the title is. You know, God tells you stuff, you share it, and, you know, that's that, right? Who am I to judge or to know or to understand what God tells you or anybody else? And mm-hmm. and one of the, that's kind of my response a lot of times to my friends who are saying, well, you know, God doesn't talk to, what do you mean God doesn't talk to people? He talks to me all the time. Now, I don't listen very well. And, you know, it's not like I'm hearing voices in my head. But, you know, I mean, he pushes me in the right direction here, and I know where it's coming from, or he pushes me in the right direction there. Some people, I think, you know, what if he wants to put thoughts and ideas and stuff in your mind? Of course he can. He's God. Why are we limiting God? But I'm kind of curious because, everybody seems to, they come at, when people ask me about this, they ask me about it like, oh, you know, these people think they're Moses or Elijah, or no, that isn't what they think, at least not in my experience. But I really think that I would love for you to have the opportunity to tell my brothers and sisters who are so kind of judgy on this. Like I said, at the end of the day, you bear good fruit. You bring people to Christ. And why is this such a controversial thing? I don't understand.
Because even when Jesus was on the, you know, he was living on earth, one of the things was great persecution because of religious tradition, because religious minded people could not accept him. They could not accept the truth of the word of God. They only accepted their tradition. And so what a prophet is a prophet is a mouthpiece of God. They're there to warn people. Just like it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, God does not do anything without first revealing it to a service of prophets. God's people are, the prophets are, they warn. They tell people ahead of time what is going to do so God's people can prepare for the events to come. Yeah. And it says in Acts chapter 2, and it says in Joel chapter 2, both of those, it talks about in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have visions and your old men shall have dreams. And it goes on and on and on. It talks about maidservants and men servants and things like that. Because in the last time, God's people, there's a lot of shaking going on in this earth. There's a lot of things that are going to be unusual. There's a lot of things that people are going to understand. And it's going to get people out of the box, out of like thinking of this normalcy and out of religion and go, hey, you know what? Maybe what these people have said is true. God is showing us so many things. I didn't call myself. People say, well, she's a self-proclaimed prophet. I never said that. I only hear from God. I don't have that name, that title. I don't care about a title. All I care about is that people are going back to God. Have I been a prophesied that I'd be in the prophet's office and have that anointing of a prophet to hear God in ways that he's going to show, like he gives me certain things that he doesn't give other people? Well, I didn't ask for that. One of the things I did ask him, I said, Lord, Why there are so many prophecies? Why is it so often? What is going on? And he said, it's what you prayed for. And I said, I didn't pray for prophecies every day. I truly did not. I never expected it. I've never seen it done before. I never thought about it. And so I asked him one day, I said, well, what do you mean? You said it was an answer to prayer. He said, Julie, you prayed every single day that my people would hear what I have to say and what I am doing in the world. And he said, and you said, God, give me the words to say that they have to hear for this very day and this very hour. These are the words that they have to hear for this very day and this very hour. I've given perfect personal prophecies to people. I've given prophecies and words to the world, to God's people, to the children of Almighty God. It's just, he's showing us, hey, this just like the bridge collapse last week or the week before that, whatever. God, I prophesied that. He prophesied about bridge collapsing. And again, he said some of them were done on purpose. We see bridge collapsing. We're seeing volcanoes. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing things in the sun, the moon, the stars. We're seeing all these things that God has been prophesying. Prophets were always sent in the Bible, and they're sent now because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if there's something that's going to come upon the earth that's going to shake God's people, God needs a mouthpiece or a willing vessel to speak words that others won't speak in order to get people's attention back to God and not on the man. That's why I tell people every single day, no matter what I give to them in teachings or prophecy, I say, get into the word of God. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my word. Just say, well, Julie said it. No, I want them to have a fellowship with God.
That's it.
I turn their focus on him, on his word, on his love, not me. If you, there's people out there that are turning people to them, then that's not of God because that's pride. Yeah. It's seriously, it's pointing it always back to God because that's where freedom is. That's where healing and restoration is in the presence of the Lord. That's our time of refreshing or rest. So that's what I do on a daily basis. A prophet is a mouthpiece. It's somebody that will say what God needs his people to hear for that very day and that very hour to avert them, to get them out of a time of distress, a time of trouble, give them peace, knowing that this is what's going to come and God gives them a way of escape because he's our way maker.
Well, and you know, I want to put this out there. So here's how I do this, right? So, I mean, listen, as I said at the beginning, Julie's my friend. I like Julie. And I absolutely, you know, I believe that she is 100% doing what she's doing based on her faith and her relationship with God. That aside, the way that I look at this generally is, and I think it's individual discernment, right? So when we go through life, we've got a lot, we have historically, we've had people who have been false prophets. We've had people who have lied, people who have used God as a tool to raise money. Hello, mega churches. Who have used God to enrich themselves, who have, you know, I mean, in the Catholic Church, we literally every week talk about the miracle that is the Eucharist. You know, it's Catholic doctrine is it literally the bread and the wine literally become the body and blood of Christ. But somehow that miracle that was so foundational to my church, we shut it down during COVID because apparently the body and blood of Christ isn't strong enough to keep you safe from COVID. It's strong enough to take as your for a last blessing, a final blessing. It's strong enough to require us to come to church and tithe every week. But the church doesn't quite have enough faith to think it can overcome the flu. I thought that was a pretty amazing thing. Now, the reason I bring that up is that, you know, I've literally been in the room with Julie, watched her, you know, get a message from God and then act to her own detriment. Okay. Take action that was not for her benefit, but actually against her. It wasn't helpful. It was the opposite of helpful to her. And I'm not going to go into details because it's no one's business. And the good deeds that Julie does are between her and God. And it's not my job to blow sunshine. That said, I've literally witnessed this myself. So discernment is important because when we look at this, I think one of the most important aspects of discerning whether someone is bearing good fruit And that's it, right? Like, I don't know what God tells you, but you tell me, and that's that. But the question is, are you bearing good fruit? Are you doing right? Or are you doing it because it's self-serving? And I've watched you do things that were not only not self-serving, they were detrimental to yourself. And that's a really big deal to me. When I watch the other guy who says, you know, you got to follow God's word. And by the way, tithe me 20%. And don't get me wrong. Tithing is important for church. We've got to do that. And we should. But, you know, if you're flying around on 3 private jets and making $50 million a year as a minister, well, maybe you should give some of that $50 million to your parishioners who are dead ass broke and trying to get by and are giving you the money so you can get another private jet. I'm just saying. The Catholic Church, you know, another palace or, you know, $50 million cathedral, you know, maybe we should give some of that money to the people who are hoping that you're going to use it for God's work rather than to defend pedophile priests. But this is what I've seen with you, Julie, is I've seen that you're putting the word out, you're teaching people about Christ, and sharing what it is that he wants you to share. But you're also, I've never seen it as a self-aggrandizing thing for you. You just seem to be doing the work, and you certainly get more than a few barbs over it.
I will tell you, there's a lot of persecution when it comes to the truth. And I have experienced a lot of that. And you know what? It's okay. Because I know the truth, and what humbles me every single day is I've asked the Lord this question. I have struggled with this question. And I asked the Lord, I said, out of all these different people around the world, why did you choose somebody like me? I know my past. I know how I was. I know, you know, I was a suicidal person. I was a person that was so panic stricken, so fearful and afraid every day. I was self-hatred. I can't even tell you how bad I hated myself. I was not in a good place for a very long time. I love the Lord. I've always loved the Lord. I've always been in church. I have seen things. I believe God. So I knew it wasn't God's problem. I knew it wasn't his fault that I was the way I was. I knew that there was something else that was going on. So to see what he did with a person like that, even though I was a fighter all my life, I was just fighting sometimes for the wrong way. Yeah. But taking somebody was like that and setting them free to this degree, and then using that person to help other people, just like that person used to be broken and, afraid and just wanting to die, and to help people to stay alive on a daily basis. That's what drives me every single day. It's not for myself. It is to bring people to God. If we can take somebody who is that broken and who was that suicidal and who was that fearful and bring him into a place like this, I know that God can do it for any one person who reaches out to God and say, God, I need help. Because all I said, God, I need your help. I need your help getting out of this darkness. I need your help getting out of this problem that I'm in that I just can't seem to ever get out of. And when I try to get out of it a little bit, I'm back into it again. I saw a faithful God. I saw a good God. I saw light where there was no light. I saw him get me out of that muck and the mire and then take that person and then use them to teach people how to stay on the word of God, how to pray. I've seen miracles in front of my face. I've seen death be destroyed by the power of life and the power of God and his words. I've seen that. And that's something that it resonates in me every single day, no matter how bad the enemy tries to shut people up or to stop things from going forward. I love God. And he knows that. And that's why when I asked him, I said, why did you pick me? He said, why wouldn't I pick you? He said, because you were willing. That's all I need. And God doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. God cares if you're a willing vessel and he sees what's on the inside of you. If you are willing to stand and fight in that battle when nobody else is willing to stand and fight, if you're willing to take that persecution and still have your head held high going, I don't care what anybody else says about me, Father God. I only care because you are the one who directs my steps. This is the thing. If people just stayed in their own lane, want people to stay in their own lane and stay focusing on their relationship with God and not criticizing and tearing somebody and judging somebody. And I'm not just talking about myself in general. I'm talking about a lot of people in the body of Christ who've been just terrorized and and judged and ridiculed. And I'm like, but how do you know that person behind closed doors? How do you know that person, who that person's like? You don't. People just see what they see in the camera and then they automatically judge, you know? And it's like, prophets are for today. God's people, there's a fivefold part of the ministry of God. And you can find that in Ephesians 4. And there's a reason why you have to have prophets. The reason why you have to have teachers, the reason why you have to have evangelists, the reason why you have to have people that are in the fivefold in order to bring God's people what? Back to Him. That's the whole importance of this world when it's going crazy and evil's ruling and it looks like everything is going to pot and nothing is going to be, you know, nothing's going to change. And God's saying, look what I did for the children of Israel in Egypt. Look what I did. I saved a nation in a day. I'm still that God that saves people. I'm still that God that delivers. I'm still that God that heals because He's still the same God yesterday and today and forever. And so again, you have the world that's talking every single day. You have disinformation on a daily basis with the news. You have disinformation, even some of the churches who won't even talk about any of this stuff because they're afraid to lose their congregations. You have all these different things going on. And God is saying, if the evil ones can talk every day, so can I. And so that's why God has put men and women all over the world to give His word. And they will not comply to a lie. They won't back off. They won't back down no matter what is being thrown at them. They are still going to talk about the word of God. And that's why we need more people like that. And instead of ridiculing people, we need more people to stand up like you and I. We need more people. And we have so many of our friends that I know that are being persecuted and being treated so horribly and lied about on a daily basis. And I'm just like, Lord, let people see the truth. Because there's people fighting for humanity and fighting for the word of God.
So, and I got to plug my sponsor real quick. Me. Support the Tom Renz Show, TomRenz.com. Check us out on the Tom Renz Show on the America Out Loud Network.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutLoud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So this is one of my greatest pet peeves, and you and I have talked about this. This to me reminds me a lot of the, you know, Jesus talking about the Pharisees, right? If you don't do Christ my way, then you're wrong. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow these 8 million rules that we have, you're wrong. If you don't do this, you know, you've got to kneel 3 times, you got to bow 4 times, you got to do this, you got to do that. Now listen, all that's great. And I do, I love the Catholic faith, right? So I love the tradition and I love some of that stuff that, about it. And it all comes from various, you know, brilliant people who studied this and studied that. But those traditions are traditions by created by man and well-founded in faith. The book is the instruction manual, right? So we've got the book and that's kind of where I start and end. And then as far as faith goes, you know, like our mutual friend, Pastor Dave and his glory, right? We've got, you know, Greg Locke. We've got Pastor Young. We've got Todd Coconato. We've got all these different guys out there that are all pushing faith. Now, we don't all agree, right? We don't always, everybody doesn't agree. And I mean, I'm the last guy. I don't really get to have an opinion, right? I'm a lawyer, so I'm the biggest sinner on the planet. But we all can come together. Listen, at the end of the day, Christ gave a couple real basic rules. Treat people like you want to be treated. Know God before your God. You know, don't sin against the Holy Spirit. It was pretty basic, right? It wasn't overly complex. And he chastised the Pharisees and Sadducees for pushing people away through all this complexity and all these details. Well, you know, this isn't the way you do it. That isn't the way you do it. I don't know the way you do it. I'm just trying to be good and I'm asking him what to do. I mean, listen, you know, you talked about your personal journey. This is a really big deal for me too, because Christ was the God of the sinner, not the saint. He came to heal the sick. He specifically said, you know, the healthy don't need a doctor. I'm here to deal with the sick. I mean, it was very, very clear, which is really important to me. I mean, listen, I'm a lawyer. I did everything I could during COVID, but there was blood on my hands. I could have, would have, should have done more. I'll live with that guilt for the rest of my life. I did everything I could. It wasn't enough. I do everything I can today, but part of my job as a lawyer is to destroy people. I mean, that's just, I try and destroy bad guys. When I find a bad guy, I'm not turning another cheek. I'm not looking for a way to get around it. I go after them and I want to destroy them. Is that right? No, but you know, I am a broken, sinful man, right? I get that. It's through Christ alone that I may be saved. And I want that gift to be something that's accessible to everybody. And so one of the things that really bothers me a lot is when I see people who bear good fruit and you get a bunch of hypocrites or I'm trying not to swear because you're a God person, and I have another one of my sins. I'm a terrible swearer. I swear terribly. You guys probably need to pray for my soul on that one. But you know, these buttholes out there that are, it's like, oh yeah, but this person said this and the Bible says that and this person, and I understand if you're going against the Bible, but there's a world of difference between going against the Bible and someone who's trying to bear good fruit and you just don't like the way they're doing it because it doesn't fit your mold. That's religion, not faith. That's you know, my faith is in Christ and in the Bible and in God, and I'm doing my best to follow it. But the question is, am I bearing more good fruit? People who want to treat people like they want to be treated, who put no God before their God, and who don't sin against the Spirit. Those are the three. That's all he said. He said everything else stems from there, right? And we can interpret and we can come out, and we should. But sweating the details was not his point. His point was to do his best to come to him. Am I wrong about that? I mean, I'm no scholar. I'm no, like, you know, God don't, you know, his talking to me is, hey, Renz, get over there. you know, and then I just start punching, right? But, you know, am I off on this?
No. So one of the things, again, the one commandment that we have in the New Testament that Jesus talked about was walking in love. And so you're not walking in love if you're tearing somebody apart in the body of Christ. Now, your job is different. You have to tear down people that are evil, that are corrupt, that people are bringing corruption, that people are bringing death. You have a job, you have a duty, and God is there protecting you. And that's the reason why he's called you. And yes, you are saved. And yes, you are fine. And you're doing the will of God, even though sometimes you have to do things that, you know, it's not fun to do. But you're doing them, and God's anointed and appointed you in order to do that, because sometimes there has to be hard jobs to do. And so when you have people that it doesn't fit the religious mold of, well, that's not how God, don't put God in a box. God is not in a box. God is not going to sit there and be like, well, I can't use that person because they're different. Jesus was very unique. Jesus was very different. And you had the religious-minded people, the Pharisees, right in front of him, criticizing him, being nasty to him, and they couldn't see that he was Christ. They couldn't see the Messiah because he didn't fit their mold. He didn't fit their tradition. He didn't fit what they thought Christ was going to be. Just like people nowadays, when you have, you know, teachers, and you have prophets, you have evangelists, you have all these different things that are going on in the body of Christ right now. And they say, well, they're different. They're not supposed to be like that. They're not supposed, that's just unique, or that's just, you know, crazy or whatever. People don't put God in a box. If it goes along with the word of God and it lines with the word of God, then receive it. If it doesn't line with the word of God, throw it out. That's why no matter what the Lord has ever has me teach or ever has me prophesy, I will always have people turn back to his word, because his word is his will. His will is he's faithful to perform it. If he says he's going to do something, he will do it. And one of the things I have to have people focus on a daily basis is that God still loves, that God still saves, that God's still a deliverer, that God's still a healer, that God is still a God whom nothing is impossible. I turn people back to who God really is, the characteristics of God, because too many people, because of religion or because of tradition, people don't know who God is. They know a form of God, but not who he truly is. So how do you have faith in somebody, or in other words, trusting in somebody, if you don't know who they are? Just like with my spouse, or just like with your spouse, you know them. That's why you trust them, because you have a relationship with them. You talk with them on a daily basis. You know who they are. You probably finish your wife's sentences, just like I can finish my husband's, they can finish mine. He knows what I like, and he's what I doesn't like. Sometimes he ignores what I don't like.
When she's talking to me, the last part of the sentence is usually a four-letter word. I'm just, if you're married to me, that's the way it is, right?
Yeah. So again, God, in order to know him or in order to trust him, you have to truly, truly know him. And how do you know him? You know him by his word. You know him by the scriptures. You know him by what he says, because his word is his will for each and every one of us. And obviously, you know, as a lawyer, people have a will, or their last testament or whatever it is before they die. And they're going to want their family to know what they're leaving behind. This is what God left for us. Yeah. Jesus came and he died. This is his will. And if we just receive what he says in his word, not what somebody else says, that's why I said, don't take my word for it when I say something. Well, Julie said, no, I want you to take it because that is what the scripture says. That's what God says. Right now, in these last days, in the last, you know, the last days doesn't mean just like, oh my gosh, there's only gonna be a week left to live. It could be 10, 15 years. I don't know. I don't give dates like that. Yeah. All I just know is we're coming closer to a time where God said everything that can be shaken will be. And in that time, we have to know our relationship with God. So then we're not in panic, we're not in fear, and we will not be deceived by the enemy. Because that's why God's focus, he wants our focus on him. That's why our focus should be on God. Just like it was yesterday, was so beautiful. Everybody was, a lot of people were focusing on God yesterday more than normal, because the thing that he created in the sky, which is so awesome for us to see. But we should be focusing on him on a daily basis. Everything that we're doing should go back and should be focused on God.
Well, and I think we've got to work very, very hard not to let ourselves fall into the traps that are shown in the Bible, right? So one of the things that, so as an attorney, one of the things that you have to do And one of the things that I have to do on a daily basis is I have to kind of size up and analyze people, behaviors, actions, because if you're going to examine someone, if you're going to ask them questions, if you're going to structure a strategy to deal with a bad guy, you have to kind of get into their head a little bit. And so when I look at the Bible, one of the interesting things that I've looked at and kind of thought a lot about is the life, right? So we read the Bible and frequently we look at, you know, Christ and what's he got to say? What are the rules he propagated? What are the rules propagated by this guy? We're always looking for rules, right? We're looking for, but I'm kind of looking at it a little bit differently. And I'm saying, okay, so let's look at the times, right? So in the, Christ's time, you got the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are kind of like the priests, right? They're like our modern day priests. They're the guys who are telling you everything that's right and wrong and giving you a whole list of rules. And, you know, meanwhile, they're wearing very expensive robes, standing at the front of a multi-bazillion dollar temple or, you know, in current days, you know, the churches, and, you know, telling you why you're not doing a good enough job. Then you've got this upstart, Christ, who's running around, and he's telling people, listen, you know, that's irrelevant. We just, you know, you don't know God because you listen, because you try and regurgitate a bunch of rules. If you want to know God, you have to actually know him. You have to develop a relationship with him, a friendship with him, which is an interesting thing. I think one of the most profound aspects of the faith journey is starting to understand how to have a relationship with someone who doesn't communicate in the way that we communicate, right? So when God talks to you, I've never heard a voice in my head. I'm sorry for those of you that think I hear voices. I got news for you. I actually don't hear voices. You know, I've never heard a voice in my head, but does God communicate? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a different type of communication, right? You know, I mean, I know when I'm doing something wrong, I feel bad about it. And I can tell, you know, because my mind shifts. I can tell when I need to do something, even if it's not of my own thinking. You know, when I'll get an idea or a thought or something that's just completely out of character and not within my normal line of consciousness, right? So it'd be a statistical outlier for it to pop into my head. And I, you know, I look at this very analytically because I'm a nerd, but you know, this is the thing, right? So you've got God out there who he does. But Jesus was really pushing that relationship with God, and the relationship with God, I mean, yes, there's rules. And yes, if you love him, you're following his word to the best of your ability. But and I'm not trying to downplay that in any way, shape, or form, because we should do our very best to learn from the scholars in the Bible and the scholars since then. But the relationship with God, was never, to my reading, and I'm looking for your opinion, it was never about just, here's a list of rules, and if you check the boxes, we're buddies. It was because Christ said, he said, well, you know, at the end, many will come and say, I followed you, and he'll say, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between knowing and just checking boxes, right? So these are my obligations. I have to check these boxes. That's like, you know, if you work at a factory, you're on assembly line, you have to follow protocol. It's step one, step two, step three, step four. You know, you do it 18,000 times a day. And that's not something you're doing because of a great deal of passion or love for pushing those same five buttons in that same order. Christ didn't want you to push the buttons in the order. He wanted you to have a relationship with him. Am I wrong on this?
No, you're not. And again, it's not about tradition. It's not about anything like that. God is just saying, this is what I gave you in order for you not to go so far over to evil or give in. He's giving us like instructions, like I give my children, okay? You need to, obviously God says we're supposed to honor our father and mother. I tell them they can't cross the street when there's cars passing by. I tell them certain things in order to protect them. God was giving those things in order to protect us, not in order for us to get in those box, be in those traditions on every single daily basis, and then forget who he is. He's the one who gave us those things to protect us. He's the one who told us, and he said he leads us and guides in the right direction and where we should go. But instead of just doing things mundane on a daily basis, God's saying, remember who I am. Again, he gives us things to protect us. away from our enemy and away from the power of the evil, okay? But we're not supposed to forget about him while we're following his directions. We're supposed to include him in our day. We're supposed to include him. Like, include him when you're working. Like, okay, you're a judge or you're a lawyer. You have to face judges. You have to face, you know, are you more of a prosecutor or a defendant? What would you say, a defender, like as a lawyer?
Oh, I don't, you know, a little bit of both. It just depends on who's in what kind of trouble.
Okay, so you have God is the judge. I want you to see this as a courtroom, okay? Yeah. God is the judge. Jesus is our lawyer. He's our defender, okay? Because of what he did for us on the cross, he is our defender. He did it all. And then you have Satan as the prosecutor, okay? Mm. And then we are on the witness stand. We either we are going to give to that prosecutor when he's sitting there and he's trying to rail you down into giving in to what he wants you to say. Or you're going to sit there as Jesus, as your defending lawyer, and you're going to know that truth. You're going to stand on that truth. You're going to speak the word of truth. And that judge is going to rule and shut that prosecutor up. And he's going to rule to save you. He's going to rule in truth and justice. God is a judge over all the earth. And that's why you, if you stand in courtrooms, you have to know that God is the judge. These people may be pretending that they're judges on the earth, but really God is the first most judge, and he rules over all the earth, and he can take every single one of those judges out. Again, it is justice, it is liberty, it is truth, and it's freedom. That's what God is. That's what he wants for all of us and how all he wants all of us to live. And so if you see that things that are bad, you know that God's against it. If you see things that are good, you know God is for it because God's absolutely good. You have Satan who is absolutely bad. You have God who's actually absolutely good. You have a war right now between good versus evil. You even have how Satan has gotten in to the church. Now I'm talking about all types of denominations. He's gotten into all of that. He's got them so mundane every single day of doing same things over and over and over again, where they forget to include God. We need to include him. We should, and again, we should have our own friendship with him. Not the fact of we have a relationship with somebody else, and through somebody else, we should know God because God is God. And he's our father, and he wants to communicate with us. Just like you have kids, I have kids, I have three boys, you have children, you want to communicate with them. You don't want to do it through like just your wife. You want to actually have a conversation. You want to sit down and have a conversation with them. You don't want to have a three-way. You want to have a relationship and a bond with your child. Well, yep. That's how our relationship should be with God.
Yeah.
We should know that he tells us, he leads us in the right way. So he'll tell us, hey, don't go that way. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But again, include him on a daily basis. It's all about relationship. And it's all about fellowshipping with him. And no, I don't hear voices in my head. I don't even hear audible voice outside here. I have never heard the audible voice of God. All I hear is in here. Yeah. I know him. I don't know how to describe it.
It's
you know, for
feeling.
Some people may feel like a thought. It may feel like, you know, is this really me? And sometimes I have to be like, okay, but I know him now. I know him. Like, as soon as he starts talking, I have a pen and a paper out and I'm writing it down. Or if I'm in the middle of a live show and I hear him talking, I shut up for a minute and I listen to what he has to say. And then all of a sudden I speak what he wants to speak. We can all have a relationship like that with him.
Well, and that's the foundational aspect of this, right? At the end of the day, it's about a relationship. By the way, TomRentz.com, support us at the America Out Loud Network, the Tom Rentz Show on iHeartRadio. Check us out on Rumble, on X. We're all over the place. Go to the shop, TomRentz.com. Please support us and help us continue to push the word and to push this and to push that and get the truth out. You know, it's interesting. You know, one of the other things that I see when we talk about the Pharisees is, you know, Jesus, he basically said they were an obstacle to a relationship with him, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, when we look at the history of the church, when Jesus founded the church, You know, and I, you know, it's interesting as Catholics is that Peter founded the church, that Jesus founded the church. It was, you know, he said that you're the rock that we'll build it on, but it was Jesus's church. And when they did that, you know, they kind of at the beginning, they were bringing people together and they were trying to teach what Jesus taught. But it doesn't seem to me that in any way, shape, or form, I mean, Christ was quite clear when the disciples were fighting over who's going to be the greatest. He said, the one that's the least, right? You don't elevate yourself. So, you know, so it's interesting to me because I see, you know, the priests and some of these church leaders who have elevated themselves above their congregation as if there's some sort of a moral high ground that they can be on. And that's not to say they aren't better people than me. I mean, like I said, I just walked by a drug dealer that's probably a better guy than me. I'm in Vegas right now. So, I mean, you know, we got the home of hookers and prostitutes, but and drug dealers. But I'm here for business. Moving on. This is one of those things where he was very clear. He didn't like that. He didn't want people to elevate themselves where they became an obstacle between you and God. He wanted that relationship to be very direct, I believe. You know, I mean, I'm all in for going to church. I like going to church. I think there's a lot of value to community and to this and to that. And again, I'm a proud Catholic in the sense that I'm proud of what the church stood for at its founding. It's certainly lost its way a bit. And like I said, they really, the two things that right now on a personal level have me really, really fussy are, and there's more than two, I mean, the Pope in general, but the two biggest things were for them to just absolutely, throw the value of the Eucharist away during COVID the way that they did and then act like it wasn't a big deal is absolute hypocrisy of the highest level. And then the other thing is these guys who are telling me I've got to come and tithe every week and then using the tithings of the faithful to defend known pedophiles. I'm not saying the pedophile priests don't deserve their day in court. I'm saying that they don't deserve my tithe to defend them. Mm-hmm. Why in the hell are we defending someone? First of all, they will go before God and God will judge them eternally. But on this planet, they broke a law. And guess what? If they're getting charged, there's a reason for it. Why? And I mean, you know, to me, if the church said, listen, if you're a pedophile priest or are accused of that, and you're truly innocent and you get off, we'll reimburse your costs. Okay, that's fair, right? Because if you're wrongly accused, you should be protected. Mm-hmm. But if you're convicted, I don't want to spend millions of dollars defending some pervert and getting him off on some technicality because we find a lawyer that can do that. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. I look at my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church and I know people who go to church and they tithe every weekend and it is painful for them. They're taking money out of their kids' mouths, this and another, and they're doing it because they think it's the right thing to do. And I agree, tithing is important. I give an immense amount of money away to what I believe are causes for Christ. But I give it to causes for Christ. I don't give it to a church. I quit giving it to the church. I don't tithe. I will not tithe the Catholic Church until they quit protecting pedophile priests and until they acknowledge what they did with the COVID and the Eucharist, because I believe in the Eucharist personally. And for them to take something that they claim and have taught and have pushed as a miracle for so long and to devalue it on a level so monumentally, oh, this is a miracle. It's actually Christ. I got news for you. If it's Christ, there's no disease on this planet you've got to worry about. You can rub it on a leper's butt and it's going to be fine. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So to me, you either believe it or you don't, but don't lie to me. Don't stand up there every week and use the Eucharist as a mechanism to get tithing. that you can use to then fund pedophile priests. Mm-hmm. When you're, so this was a real issue to me, and I still strongly support my church as it was founded, but it needs reform. We need
shaking in a lot of different denominations, because again, is it about the leaders of the church, or is it about God and what God is telling us to do or telling us to believe? And so that's why it's so important. That's why when God said everything that can be shaken will be, he included the church in this. He included, which is the church is not a, you know, a building. The church is the actual body of Christ, because Jesus is the head. We're the body. He talks about that in Ephesians 1. And so if we are the body of Christ, we should be aligned with Christ. That means we should be listening to him. That means we should be going and doing what he is supposed to go and do, and not what others tell us to do. We need to be doing what he has been telling us to do through his written word. And so that's why I think a lot of things that you're seeing, even what you're seeing with your church that you go to, and you're seeing what's going on in the Catholic religion, you're seeing that's because, listen, God is showing us, look at what man has done. Now look at what I have done. I thought it was appalling that churches were closed during COVID. I thought, okay, the church is essential. Going to church, hearing the word of God, praising and worshiping him is essential. And when they were taking that away, you knew how evil and demonic that was, because Satan was trying to shut up the church. He was trying to shut up, because even God said in his word to not forsake the assembly. And so that means we are supposed to assemble with him in church. It does not mean that it's okay for us because some man or some government said, you can't go. I think we all should have stormed our churches and said, you know what? We're here to worship God today. And I don't care what you're going to say, but you're not going to shut me up. You're not going to put that mask over my face. You're not going to get me to stop worshiping God, because it is my right as a child of God. It is my right as a human being. It's my right as a citizen of this country that the first of all, we have a freedom of speech, and that is part of worshiping God Almighty. And so you can see the darkness that they were trying to bring upon the earth at that particular time by forsaking it. And that's why I think, Tom, that's what happened to so many different people. They saw the truth. Are you really talking the talk and walking the walk, or you're just doing it out of religious tradition, or you're doing it because you're really truly believing God and you're standing on the word of God and you're not going to back off and you're not going to quit? And so that's why I think we're seeing what God said in the time of great separation. You're going to see the wheat from the chaff. You're going to see the sheep from the wolves. You're seeing the true remnant of God in this time.
And remember, you don't have to agree with our interpretation of everything related to Christ or faith. At the end of the day, what we're asking is that people treat people like they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. We hope that we can introduce you to Christ and understand the forgiveness that's there. But you know what? My job is to help to try and get that word out, to create that introduction. And if you and Christ hit it off, well, he's going to do a lot more on that than I ever can.
We love you, and thank you for having us on today to let us share the word of God.
It's a great honor. Thanks, George.